All right, if you got a Bible, grab it, open it, turn it on, follow along on screen in your outline, or use the Central Church app. You can turn to Matthew chapter 1. We're starting our Christmas series today called Unwrapping Christmas. How many of you got your Christmas shopping done? That's not me. How many of you have not even started? It was Black Friday, and you missed out. And yeah, so remember, your pastor wears a size Hellcat, just letting you know. But we're starting this series, Unwrapping Christmas, and over the next several weeks, we'll be looking at different aspects of the Christmas story, and we're pulling out applicable meaning as we journey through the season. And real quick, our Christmas services this year are December 22nd, Sunday only. We're not doing Saturday night. We're doing Sunday only. First service is 7:30. This service will remain the same at 9:30, and then the last service will start 15 minutes later at 11:15. We do that for parking lot purposes, not necessarily because the messages or the services are any longer. They probably are tacked on a little bit longer, but not a whole lot. So December 22nd, Sunday only, 7:30, 9:30, and 11:15. All right, let me set today up like this. When I was in school, listen, I'm a little old, but back then you got paper report cards every 9 weeks. Everybody remember that? How many of you remember that? All right, so for the first 9 weeks of the school year, I was golden. After that, no TV, no Atari, nothing like that. Like none of it. It was crazy. And what got me thinking about this is not too long ago, I was going through a box of old baseball and football cards, and I found a stack of report cards that apparently I had hidden from my parents from first, second, third, and fourth grade. And they all said the same thing, because teachers could write little comments back then. Remember that? Yeah, and remember how awesome it was when Whiteout came out, and then you could like, well, the teacher just put it, Dad, I don't know. But all of my report cards said the same thing. Ryan is disruptive in class. Ryan daydreams in class. Ryan talks too much. Ryan goofs off too much. Listen, I set the record in first grade for the most paddlings that school had ever gotten. Because the school I went to paddled kids back then. Today we affirm them. But I got paddled. And so I was thinking, and I was thinking, well, it wasn't only me. All my friends were like that. Mike, Jamie, Adam, like we were all disruptive in class. In fact, if you think about it, if you're around my age, I'm almost 51. And so if you're around my age, if you think back, like I don't really know how it is today. I'm just saying back in the day, it was always the boys that caused the trouble, right? It was always the boys that got in trouble. It was always the boys that got sent to the principal's office. The girls actually listened and paid attention, and they were good. I don't know how things are today. I'm just telling you, boys were always moving, always getting in trouble. It was hard to get a boy's attention. Would you agree, yes or no? And it's not because we had ADD, it's because we're boys. We're always trying to move, and nothing could seem to catch our attention, which is why I believe it's easier most of the time for women to be more open to the Holy Spirit, more open to the Word of God. And people ask me, is it because women are godly? No, they're just willing to listen. Now, I've done some scary things in my life, but being a dad is hands down one of the scariest things I've ever encountered. If you're a dad, it's the same thing. Moms, you get an adjustment period. 9 months, you're with it every day. Dads, we show up at the hospital, he or she pops out, they take it, and they put it under the French fry warmer, right? Keep it all warm and everything. Then they give it to you and tell you to take it home, and it's scary because nobody tells you what to do. And I know the pushback is there's videos, there's a book, and there's a class. I don't listen well. I don't pay attention well, all right? So keep that in mind. But as a dad, like even today, my kids are officially in their 20s, both of them. I still don't know what I'm doing. In fact, not just as a dad, but most everything in my life, as a pastor, as a friend, like mostly I'm just making this all up as I go along. And so if you're here today and you're facing a difficult decision, or you're in a situation where you don't quite know what to do, or you're in the middle of a situation you never quite thought you'd find yourself in, and you're like, Pastor Ryan, what would be your advice? Well, I'm going to tell you what has worked for me and what has worked for every single person I know that's ever made a great decision. And it's this: listen. Just listen. As a matter of fact, we can say it like this in church: listen to the voice of Jesus. Listen to the voice of Jesus, and then do what he says. And you won't screw it up. I promise. Now, it won't be easy. In fact, sometimes this is the toughest decision you'll ever make. But if you'll listen to the voice of God, and by the way, he speaks as clearly and as loudly today as he ever has. If we will just listen, I promise, he will lead you. Maybe not in the way you want to go, but in the way that's best for us, in the way that's best for you, in the way that's best for me. And so with that, let's really talk about the Christmas story. We're going to talk about it a lot over the next 4 weeks. We'll probably look at the same couple of passages over the next several weeks because the Christmas story hasn't changed. It starts off with Mary in her house one day, and we don't know what she's doing, but an angel shows up to Mary and tells her, hey, you're going to have a son. And she says, well, see, the problem with that is I've never been with a man. And the angel says, well, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You're going to take care of that. And she says, well, all right. I mean, like, I usually follow the science on these things, but I'll follow the Spirit on this one. So the angel tells Mary that she's going to be pregnant, and she's pretty excited. And we can appreciate that. Because if you had an encounter with an angel, would you be excited, yes or no? Yeah. I mean, we'd be a little scared at first because in the Bible, like, we picture angels as having wings, being little fat kids with togas floating on clouds. That would be cool if they were riding on cows, wouldn't it? That's the Iowa version of an angel. But the angels are big, powerful beings. And you know that because anytime an angel appears to anybody in the scriptures, they're always afraid. The angel always has to say, do not be afraid. And so they're always terrified. But after they get through with being terrified, and the angel gives them the message, they're all happy. And so she's excited. Mary's excited. And probably the first person she goes to tell is Joseph, who she's engaged to. So she runs to Joseph, and she says, Joe, you're not going to believe this. I just talked to an angel. And Joseph says, a what? An angel? All right, Mary. And he's thinking, oh my gosh, she's hot and she's crazy. Like, he's looking at the meter. You know what I'm talking about? The hotter they are, the more crazier they could be. You see? Anyway, she's like, yes, I met an angel. And he says, what did the angel say? I'm pregnant. I'm going to have a baby. Okay, who's the daddy? The Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, Joseph made a decision. And we can't get mad at him for his decision because most all of us probably would have made the same decision. This was his decision. Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. Oh, the Holy Spirit? Sure, we're done. Did not want to disgrace her publicly. Technically, according to the Old Testament, he could have brought her in front of the entire village and had her killed. Now, we can all agree that Joseph, because we know the story, we can all agree that Joseph was about to make an unwise decision. But he didn't know at that point what Mary knew. He had not had the same experience that Mary had. And if we were to give some advice to old Joseph, we probably would have told him, man, I'd do the same thing. Get rid of her. Kick her to the curb. And then, all of a sudden, Joseph did something that we're going to see all throughout this story. He listened. Watch what happens, verse 20. As he considered this, as he considered disgracing her publicly or having her killed or whatever, an angel of the Lord appeared to him. Now pause, this is good. This is good, right? Because who appeared to Mary? A what? An angel. So you got angel appearing to Mary, angel appearing to Joseph. What's the difference? Well, it's right here. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, why did the angel appear to Mary in everyday, ordinary, casual life and appear to Joseph in a dream? Here's why, I think. Because he's a man. Go back to my opening illustration. Men can't sit still and shut up long enough. We're always moving. We're always working on something. We're always fixing something. We're always fighting for something. We work. Then we come home and we do more work. We work and work. And God is like, okay, he gonna slow down. He gonna stop in just a minute. And when he got to the place where absolutely nothing was going on in his life, God said, now I'm going to speak. Hey, I just know from personal experience, sometimes we don't listen to God until we're flat on our back. By the way, I'm open to God when I'm flat on my back, but I don't want that to be the pattern of my life. I go out, screw up my life, blow it up, flat on my back. Okay, God, now what do you want me to do? All right, God, I guess I'll follow you. And we follow until things get going good, and then we blow it up again. It's this pattern of back and forth. And so Joseph is flat on his back. He's quiet. He's still. He's at a place where he could listen. And when he could listen, watch what happens. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, aren't you glad Mary wasn't there? Because she'd be like, I told you. I told you. You didn't listen. I told you, Holy Spirit. You didn't believe me. Watch what else happens. Verse 21. And she will have a son. The same thing the angel said to Mary, he's now telling Joseph. Let me pause real quickly and say this. If you're a married couple, God's going to lead you to the same place. God's going to get you on the same page. It might not happen at the same time. It might happen in different ways, but God is going to draw us together. God's goal is to literally draw us together, not make us argue. Watch this. You are to name him Jesus. Again, same thing that was said to Mary, now said to Joseph. They agreed on a baby name, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. That happened. That happened. She gave birth to a little boy named Jesus, who saved his people from their sins. She will give a birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Now, two things I need to point out before we move on. Number one, Joseph listened to God. Now, I said this in the first service. I wasn't going to, but they egged me on to say it, so I'm going to say it again in this service. It's going to get me in trouble. But I don't care. I don't feel good. I'm going to blame it on the medicine. One of the reasons he could listen to God is because Mary kept her mouth shut. Jay may not be making it to ordination tonight. Dude, you shouldn't have done that. Ladies, let me just listen. Hypothetically, let's say God spoke to you and you want your husband to be on the same page that you're on. Mary did not nag him into following God's will. I don't know one single man. Hey, what was it that got you to following Jesus? My wife wouldn't shut up. She just nagged me so much. I was like, man, I want what God wants in my life. Look, Mary could have actually driven Joseph away from God had she kept on. But you know what I think Mary did? I think Mary talked to Joseph. He didn't buy it, so Mary prayed. And I think Mary prayed a two-word prayer. Get him. Get him. Ladies, what would happen if we didn't argue in our marriage, but instead you just said, get him. Because you know God can accomplish more in 5 minutes than we can accomplish in 5 years. Amen? And so the second thing I think happens here is Joseph was about to make a really, really, really bad decision. This is like, here's the opportunity to be the stepdad of Jesus. He's not the real dad. He's the stepdad. And he almost walked away from it, but then he got it. How many people in this room, you're so thankful that there's been a time in your life where you're about to make a bad decision and God intervened and said, nope, we ain't going there. I'm so thankful for a God that doesn't give us our own way. He told Joseph, no, you're going to stick with Mary. Mary's a keeper. One day they're going to build cathedrals after her. What about me? Not going to. Nope. Catholics aren't going to be too excited about you, but they're going to do some crazy stuff for Mary. Well, Jay, you didn't laugh at that. So they're engaged, right? And then 2,000 years ago, I know this is going to shock you, but the government got involved in their lives and complicated. I know it's crazy to think that after 2,000 years, but the Roman emperor said there needs to be a census. And so if you know the Christmas story, they had to go from Nazareth to where? Bethlehem, right? Bethlehem. Now, we talked about this before. Just a real quick review. Nazareth to Bethlehem by donkey is a week. It's a week. It's a week journey. Ladies, the last week of your pregnancy, if your husband said, hey, we're going to ride a donkey every day for the next week, are you happy? Yes or no? No. Was this tough for Mary? Yes or no? Yes. But let's not forget how tough it was for Joseph. Mary literally rode his ass for a week from Nazareth to Bethlehem. I'm just saying. It's in the text, so I got to bring it out. When Joseph gets to Bethlehem, Like, he's messed everything up. Like, he hasn't booked an Airbnb. When they got there, there's no room. The Bible says that Mary gave birth to Jesus in a barn. Some people believe it was a cave. It's actually a sheep cave. It's nasty. They give birth to Jesus, and then the shepherds show up. Now, listen, I love the Christmas story, but my favorite characters in the Christmas story are the shepherds. I love the shepherds, but shepherds are dirty, and they're nasty. And if you're a mom, if you're a new mom with a newborn baby, you don't want dirty men coming in and holding your baby. Like, I remember when Chloe was born, people came in and the nurses would freak out. They'd be like, all right, wash your hands, use the hand sanitizer. Here's a hazmat suit, and then we're going to spray you down, and then we maybe might let you hold her. But these nasty, dirty shepherds show up, and then sometime between when Jesus was born and when he was 2 years old, the wise men came. They were not there at the same time as the shepherds, although all of your nativity scenes have them all there at the same time. Also, side note, crazy little drummer boy ain't nowhere in the story. No, we love him, we sing about him, but anyway, so they're there at different times. The wise men, for those of us who know the Christmas story, they brought gifts. They brought three things the Bible talks about. You remember what they were? They brought what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All right, so let's forget about the frankincense and myrrh for a second, although they're incredibly symbolic. I just don't have time to address those today. I want to talk about the gold. Have you ever thought, how much gold did they bring? You ever thought that? I thought about it this week for a really, really long time. I was wondering how much. The amount is substantial. I did a ton of research, way more than I should have, and I can't find a number that people agree on. But most scholars believe it's somewhere in the neighborhood, in today's money, somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 to $20 million. $10 to $20 million. That blows up some of your views of Jesus. Because there are people running around saying, Jesus was broken homeless. No, he wasn't. That's stupid. You should stop saying that, because that's not true. How do you know, Ryan? Well, Jesus had 12 followers. One was named Judas. What was Judas's job? Anybody remember what his job was amongst the 12? He was the what? The treasurer. The treasurer keeps the what? You know any broken homeless people that have a treasurer? Anybody? Hey, I'm broken homeless. Well, who's that guy? He keeps the money. I'm like, you need to fire him because you're broken homeless. So if you're Joseph and you've now just kind of stepped into this thing, all of a sudden here come the wise men and they drop off $10 to $20 million. Would you consider this a blessing? Yes or no? Everybody say yes. Yeah, somebody knocks on your door today. Somebody comes to my house, leaves me 20 mil. I'd be like, who are you? And is that mine? You're not my best friend. Joseph is in a place of blessing, like he's blessed. But then something happens. Watch this. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. After the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. You think he's getting tired of sleeping at this point? Get up, because God's always going to call us to take our next step. God's always going to call us to take a next step. Get up. Watch this. Flee to Egypt. Now, I'm sure that when Joseph heard this, he's like, oh, Mr. Angel. For a second there, it sounded like you said, flee to Egypt. And then the angel says, yeah, that's what I said. That's not good for Joseph. Because see, Egypt was not a place that was comfortable for Jewish people to go. The Jewish people had been enslaved by the nation of Egypt for over 400 years. And you remember the story? God delivers them out of Egypt. And so God is right here telling Joseph, I want you to take your family and I want you to step into an uncomfortable place. Do you know that sometimes, oftentimes, most of the time, probably all the time when we follow Jesus, he's going to lead us to uncomfortable places? Listen, one of these days, I'm going to write a book on dumb things that Christians say. And I'm going to be a little asterisk there, but they meant well, right? Because we see things about God, we attribute things to God that are absolutely not true. Like, I heard it this week, every day with Jesus just gets sweeter and sweeter. Uh-uh. No, it don't. I wish I was true, because I'd be happy. You know, God will call us to go to uncomfortable places. You're thinking, Pastor Ryan, what do you mean? Well, God's going to call you to tell somebody that you're sorry. But what about what they did to me? Doesn't matter. He could call you to tell them sorry. God might call you to ask somebody for forgiveness for something you did to somebody. Listen, when God began to deal with me about coming to Iowa to pastor this church, it was an uncomfortable place for me. Incredibly uncomfortable. Now, we can look back at it. We can look at it now and we can say it was the right decision. It was great. There's blessings. It's been tremendous. It's been fantastic. But it was hard. He will lead you to an uncomfortable place so he can do amazing things in you and through you. That's what's happening in this story. Flee to Egypt. And watch this. I love this. With the child and his mother. Don't forget them. Don't forget Jesus and Mary. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. This is going to get sideways. I'll talk about that in a second. Verse 14. That night, Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary, his mother. Don't miss this. He listened. He said yes, even though saying yes would put him in an uncomfortable position. Even though he didn't understand everything about it, he just said yes to the voice of God. And look, they stayed there until Herod's death. This fulfilled what the Lord had spoken through the prophet. I called my son out of Egypt. I'm so glad Joseph said yes, because watch what happens after they left. Verse 16. Herod was furious when he realized that the wise men had outwitted him. He sent soldiers to kill all the boys in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years and under. This was going to include Jesus, based on the wise men report of the star's first appearance. And so God's telling Joseph, he's like, hey, there's some stuff going on that you don't know about. And so I want you to go to a place that's uncomfortable, but it's going to be a place where you're going to be safe and your family is going to be saved. And every time I read this, I'm always like, I can't believe there's actually a time in the history of the world where there was a government that would sanction the murder of innocent children. I'm glad we've progressed so much. Just let that sit there for a minute. Let's keep going. Verse 19. When Herod died, well, let me talk about that for a second. Let me set it up like this. When it comes to confrontation, you've got three types of people. Fight, flight, or freeze. Fight, flight, or freeze. Now, here's one thing I know about you. I don't care what kind of personality, what type of personality you have. I don't care what number you are on the Enneagram thing. I don't care where you are on the DISC test. Here's what I know about you if you're a parent and somebody messes with your kid. They just ask for a death sentence, right? You'll mess with my kid. You can say anything you want about me. You can say anything you want about my life, but you start messing with my kids, that's when we fight. And so if I'm Joseph and I hear that Herod is wanting to come after my child, I'm like, bring him. Bring him on. Hey, Herod, you want to come after my kid? You're going to have to come after, you're going to have to come through me. You want my baby? Come on, Herod, bring it. Bring everything you got. Here's the problem. Joseph couldn't have handled everything Herod had. Herod had soldiers, he had spies, he had a military, he had an entire force of people behind him that was willing to do all of his work. All Joseph had was a baby and a mama. And God said, you need to go to Egypt. Here's why, Joseph. I'm going to fight your battle. God's saying, in my time, I will take care of your Herod. And how do we know God did it? Well, the Bible says right there. When Herod died. See, God handled the problem that Joseph could not have handled. I remember several years ago, I was in the middle of a situation where I had two choices, fight or keep my mouth shut. I'm a fighter. I have never, even verbally, if somebody insults me, I've never lacked to insult back, and it's always so good. I've never, ever, ever said, I just didn't know what to say in that situation when they said that to me. I'm a fighter. But God spoke to me and said, Ryan, you can fight this battle or I can fight this battle. And I said, well, what if you fought this battle through me, God? And this Louisville slugger, he says, shut up. Want an option. See, sometimes it's hard not to fight, isn't it? It's hard not to fight, especially when there's something so near and dear to our hearts. But God said, hey, if you'll go to this uncomfortable place, if you'll shut up and listen, I will fight your battle. Somebody in here needs to hear, God is fighting for you. God has not forgotten for you. He is fighting for you. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. We have a God who loves and fights for his children. See, the thing that caused you to go to an uncomfortable place, God's going to handle it in his way and in his time. You just keep listening to the voice of God and do what he says. Amen? Now, Herod died. And when he died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. I love that. I think by this time he's got to be taking melatonin to sleep or something. Verse 20, get up. You always want me to move. Get up, take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel. Everybody say back. It's important. Back to the land of Israel, because those who are trying to kill the child are dead. Joe, this is what I want you to do. I want you to get up, and I want you to go back to Israel. Now, this is weird, because Israel is a place that he had called them out of. He called them out of Israel. Now he's calling them back to Israel. Sometimes God is going to ask us to do stuff. And listen, there's things on this side of eternity that we will never understand, we will never know. That's why we've got to trust him. I'm telling you, I'm almost 51. I still struggle to trust God sometimes. I do. I think we probably all do. We struggle to have that faith. And let me show you what the enemy will do. He does it to all of us. It's like his nuclear weapon, and he'll use it right before we're about to have a breakthrough. Watch what he does, verse 21. So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus and his mother. But when he learned that the new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. Right before a breakthrough happens, the enemy will always hit us with fear. Fear is his number one weapon. See, Joseph's getting ready to walk back into Israel. He's getting ready to walk back in with Jesus and Mary. And all of a sudden, well, you know, Joe, Herod's son is there, and he's hit with fear. Do you know what we do when we're hit with fear? We want to go back to where we came from. In this case, he would have wanted to go back to Egypt. You know, the Israelites, they did that. The Israelites get set from slavery, and about a month in, they were like, we should go back. We should go back. We should go back to slavery. I mean, we had it good. We had pots of meat. We had all we wanted to drink. And every time I read that, I'm thinking, yeah, and you had whips. Whips. I heard somebody say one time it took 4 months for God to get the Israelites out of Egypt, because the 10 plagues took approximately about 4 months before they got set free. 4 months for God to get the Israelites out of Egypt, and it took 40 years to get Egypt out of the Israelites. Listen to me. Anytime we live in fear, we always run back to Egypt. We always run back to slavery. There are people in this room right now, you're on the brink of a breakthrough, and the enemy is trying to bust you up with fear to get you to go back to what you used to do, to get you to go back to who you used to be, to get you to go back to the place that was comfortable. See, this is where relapse, if we're going to talk about, let's talk about a recovery type thing. This is where relapse happens, right? I'm moving along, I'm doing really good, everything's great, and then something happens, and I get afraid, and so I run back to alcohol, I run back to drugs, I run back to pills, I run back to food, I run back to whatever, I run back to what's comfortable. Every time, the enemy's going to push us back to what we think is comfortable. We'll always run back to that thing that's kept us in bondage and held us down for years and years and years. Then after being warned in a dream, here we go again. After being warned in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee, verse 23. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. This fulfilled what the prophet had said, he will be called a Nazarene. Well, hold on a second. When we start the Christmas story, when the angel appeared to Mary, she was living in a village called what? Nazareth, right? Everybody, we on the same page? They left Nazareth and went to Bethlehem. They left Bethlehem and went to Egypt. Wouldn't have been just as easy to leave Bethlehem and go straight back to Nazareth. But sometimes God is going to take us on a journey that doesn't make sense in the moment. But when we look back, we're like, oh, he was there the whole time. He had his hand on me the whole time. He was guiding me the whole time. He was protecting me the whole time. Because as we look at this story, even though it didn't make sense, we could say, hey, he was with Joseph, Jesus, and Mary the whole time. Yes or no? Had his hand on them the whole time. Guiding them the whole time. Protecting them the whole time, right? Don't miss this. This is what's so beautiful, and I'll end with this. The beautiful thing about this story is allowing Joseph and Mary to go back to Nazareth. It's a beautiful picture of restoration. Because think about this. When Mary and Joseph left Nazareth, why did they leave? They left because they had to go to the census. But she was what? She was pregnant. And they weren't married. And they probably had a lot of shame and a lot of guilt. And people were probably saying a lot of things about them. And they most likely left with their head down. But when they walked back in, they walked in with their heads up. When they left Nazareth, they were broke. And when they got back, they were blessed. When they left Nazareth, they wondered, how in the world did our life end up like this? When they came back to Nazareth, they're like, we now know that God has a plan and a purpose for our life. I'm telling you, it's a picture of restoration. If there's anything this church is about, it's seeing people restored to a place and the person that God has called you to be. How did they get there? They listened. They listened. What would it look like if we did that? What would it look like if we listened? What would it look like if you just woke up every day, the first 5 to 10 minutes of your day, you just sat and you just listened to the voice of God? What if you just said, God, I want to know where you are. God, I want to know what you're saying. How amazing would it be if we listened and allowed him to guide us through these uncomfortable places that we seem to get stuck in, that we seem to want to run away from? He will fight your battles. He will fight the battles. We don't have to fight. And he'll bring us to a place that's greater than we'd ever imagined if we would only listen, if we would just listen to his voice.